Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello everybody and welcome to this, the latest episode of the Raw Report here on Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet's Patreon channel. I'm your host, Stephen Wilson, and for this week's Raw, which was came from Boston at the TD Garden on the 18th of November, I'll join to review the show by Sarah Greaves. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Stephen, how are you?
I am fine, thanks. It's we had a lovely Raw, which we're going to go into.
Yeah, I actually thoroughly enjoyed this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last two ones have been kind of mixed bags, but this one, I'm looking forward to going into some detail on this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it was actually quite a strong show, considering like, it was like stacked with like everything.
Yeah, definitely. We'll go into that in just a wee second, but first, a bit of housekeeping. So you're already on the new Patreon channel, where you're getting all our extra content for just $4 a month, a bargain. It's cheaper than Disney Plus for Americans. And you can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Suplex Retweet. And just remember, our free flagship podcast is still available on all good podcasting sites. Right, so to go into a bit of detail about this Raw, as I said, it took place from Boston, but they're back in America after last week's European tour in Manchester. And this was the go-home Raw before probably one of the biggest weekends of the calendar. It's the Survivor Series weekend, where we've not just got the Survivor Series brand warfare. We've also got NXT TakeOver coming on Saturday. We're going to the usual format of this particular show, where we're going to do 6 for 6. If you've never listened before, Sarah will go through 3 of her top moments. I'll go through 3 of my top moments. We'll talk about them for 6 minutes. We'll give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down, or as we call it, a red hot or a stone cold. And then we'll go briefly into all the other segments before we finish up. So Sarah, I'll throw it to you. What's your first 6 for 6 of the week?
I mean, I'm going to go right into probably one of the most memorable moments that came from this Raw. Mm-hmm. And it is the in-ring segment between Triple H and Kevin Owens.
Oh, that's a great one. Steal my thunder there.
I absolutely loved it. I mean, it took you, like, if you've been watching NXT back from the very start, it took you right back. Like, we all know, like, me and you were on that takeover show where we were talking about, like, Kevin versus Sammy, and we're like, this just proper took you right back to like the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite good. Triple H came out and abruptly ended a match we may talk about later on between KO and Drew. Very abruptly, it's quite strange to come out and address Kevin Owens and say he's essentially, this was a man who once stabbed his friend in the back, as you said there, Sarah, and now he's just an afterthought on the Raw roster. It was Triple H's latest move to try and cause tension in the Raw roster.
I mean, if it was, then I think it certainly works, because it convinced, it probably convinced like everyone at home, like, because most of the people that were watching Raw and SmackDown were maybe not familiar with NXT until Kevin Owens made that challenge to John Cena during the US Open Challenge. Mm-hmm. So I think like Triple H is right, that's probably what did really draw eyes, is when Sammy and KO were making their debuts around about that time. And if he's done it to cause tension, then well, hell, it's convinced me, because I was bloody sold. I was like, oh my god, KO, go back.
I thought it was quite interesting that pretty much Owens didn't really, he didn't utter a word during this time and segment. It was just Triple H talking to him.
Yeah, no, I thought that was actually, because you know that KO is like one for words, and he does, he always has an answer for everything and a comeback for everything, and you're like, why is he staying silent? Because it makes you think that he is taking it into consideration, because Seth was very, very similar when Triple H tried it the week before. And it was very similar, except, you know, like, Seth was very vocal, yet KO was just like, yeah, you're right, I am underappreciated.
It's all right, because he was saved by some of the top stars on the Raw roster, the likes of Mojo Rawley, Eric Young, guys that are featured regularly.
Top guys.
Yeah, not the top guys. They're on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, because it was like, it was on commentary as well. It's like, oh, the Raw roster clearly cares about him. And I'm like, but who actually does care about him? It was like, they probably just care to either save face or anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think I've been properly worked by this.
Yeah, definitely. It was it was a good bit of story. It was a simple bit of storytelling. We got what we've had the last few weeks. The NXT guys got themselves involved. First, the guys on the ramp. I think it was the Forgotten Sons, Damian Priest and Dijakovic.
Yes.
And then Undisputed Era, obviously, who have probably been the main catalyst for this invasion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when you think about, like, when you talk about factions and invading, the one thing you always think about when it comes to NXT right now is Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
So, and there was always, like, this is when social media has, like, a big part to play. Mm-hmm. It's when KO was teasing that he was going to, like, either rejoin NXT when he first came back after injury, mm-hmm. or he was going to, like, join the Undisputed Era and maybe, like, overthrow Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would not surprise me if they ever did go in that direction further down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be quite good. Obviously, KO is on Team Raw, so it does actually make a lot of interesting permutations coming into Survivor Series with both him and Rollins, potentially a bit of doubt.
Yes, definitely, because, like, what... At the end of the day, Triple H is right, because NXT did make those two guys before they made it to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be targeting anybody, you're going to be targeting people that you nurtured.
Yeah.
And it was, like, that boss type for you. Because it was also really good to see Triple H, like, actually in this kind of position,
mm-hmm.
as well, like, taking the main front. Because, like, you don't have, like, Heyman or... Who's the guy that's running SmackDown now?
Pritchard, I believe.
Pritchard. You don't mm-hmm. see them, like, running around and, like, trying to square up to Triple H, do you?
I wouldn't want Pritchard trying to get in demand, I love you! Brother Love coming out with that absolute red face. But, no, they are probably the two guys. Obviously, he's had a part with all the NXT guys, but these are kind of his two guys he's kind of brought up. Mm-hmm. So, on the note of that segment, what would you give it? Would you give it a red hot for a thumbs up or a stone cold for down?
Oh, no, it was red hot. Absolutely red hot.
It was a very well done angle. It was subtle. It was easy. They didn't go into too much. I think sometimes with these type of invasion things, and obviously when the McMahons and Triple H are involved, they can sometimes go too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
This was pretty much I don't think you're appreciated here. You were appreciated when you were with me.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Simple. And KO, we don't know what's happened. KO didn't come out later on the show either for the big brawl. So
that is very true.
So it will be interesting to see what, and if there's, as we spoke about in a lot of previous shows on the Heel Turn show that you hosted on the main flagship, anything you can't trust on WWE, it's Kevin Owens.
You can't trust KO when it comes to being part of a team.
Definitely. I would agree on you. I think it's a solid red hot for me. It was a very good segment. And while we're actually on it, I'm going to go on to mine, which was the match that came before it.
Ooh.
Which for TV taping on WWE was probably one of the best matches of the year. It was a match between KO, as we talked about, and mm-hmm. our very own Drew McIntyre, who went at it for a good 15 to 20 minutes.
I know.
On Raw. What was your thoughts on this match?
Well, I was thinking, first of all, I was like, these two men are on Team Raw. Why are you putting them in a match together?
Samoa Joe said the exact same thing. Oh, by the way, for anybody who's not watched Raw, Samoa Joe was on commentary. It was very good.
Sorry, I love Samoa Joe.
That's fine. I had to get that in there now.
Yeah, no, because, like, I do agree with Joe. Like, why would you put, especially if they're your two of your top, because you're supposed to be putting the best team forward, and all you're doing is either create more animosity, or you're going to make, like, I know, like, in the whole world of kayfabe, that, oh my god, it's still real to me. Somebody could get injured. Somebody could get hurt. And that's your team screwed.
Yeah, it's the kind of whole... That's the problem they kind of get some years with this whole brand versus brand. They still need to try and maintain the whole face heel dynamics.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're kind of going up against the other brands. This particular year, they've had more of an issue with that one because they've had inserted NXT, which has added a bit more flavour. The NXT guys have been great on the main shows, but with the Raw and SmackDown guys, you don't really get 100% why they're fighting.
Yeah. It is a strange one. I think it all depends on, like, when they start preparing a little bit too early, because, like, see how you've noticed that the Raw and the SmackDown teams have already been announced, but they were barely announced, like, as the show was progressing. Mm-hmm. It was more on social media, YouTube, and, like, Facebook Live, etc. Mm-hmm. And NXT have kept it hush-hush. They're like, yeah, no, we're not telling you who's going to be on our team, who's going to be representing, because, well, they do have War Games the night before. But,
yeah,
it's very, very weird how it's been set up this year. But it's definitely added more flavour to it.
I mean, if these guys can put on half the performance on Sunday that they put on here on a TV show, it's going to be something. I personally think this is Drew's best WWE match on a TV show.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you can tell that time away has done him, like, the world of good as well, because he's come back and he's a lot more revitalized and energetic.
He's built like a brick house.
Oh, and he looks even more intimidating than he did before, and I didn't know that was possible.
Another thing on this match, myself and Scott, like, kind of talked on this show last week, was how over Kevin Owens is with the crowd.
Yes,
it's very clear in this match. The crowd are rooting for him as he goes for all these big moves. Pretty much a lot of the moves that we've not seen from KO in a while. The frog splash, the swanton bomb.
I know, I actually completely forgot that he would even do the swanton bomb until he was going to go and hit it. And I went, wait, what?
Oh, yeah, he's so agile for a big guy. I remember his first match with Cena when he first came up. I'd seen his matches in NXT. Obviously, I'd seen some of his stuff in Ring of Honor before that, but his matches with Cena, we pretty much put every move out of his arsenal. I was like, oh my God, this guy is an absolute amazing competitor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I thought, in terms of a TV, on the Grapple app, I'm not giving them too much plug, but it's a very good app for rating matches. I think I gave this a 3.75 or a 4-star, which for a Raw is, like, unheard of.
Yeah, I think, like, because you encouraged us to actually, like, download the app, and I gave it a 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's like, for a match on Raw, it's a good match, because, like, it has been kind of poor since the whole draft thing, and but now they've actually started to build this up. But I still don't get why they would put them to, especially, like, if they're, like, if you're going to do matches with that sort of thing, like, do what they did, like, earlier in the night with Seth and Andrade.
Yeah, but stakes.
High stakes. It's like your spot on the team is up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it flavorful, because in that way, nobody's place is safe. It's like that's when storylines can go and, like, oh, the superstar can become too complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that could have been a good way. Because then it keeps, like, a face versus heel dynamic as well.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to potentially screw up your team.
Yeah, definitely. I personally think this is a good... It could be a good sign for Drew. They might get a lot more use after the whole Survivor Series thing coming out on. In terms of how this would be rated, I would definitely give this a red hot. Personally think it's probably one of the best Raw matches of the year. We had two or three actually on this show, but this was probably the pick of the bunch, which is why I'm going to give it a red hot. What was your thoughts? Do you agree?
No, I completely agree. I mean, it's probably, like, the best match.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kept the whole theme of the night. It's just, like, everything was all systems go, in a way. But no, like, it was a great match, and then it led into that great segment as well. I still don't know why it had to end the way it ended.
That was the only downside of it. It was so abrupt ending. It just ended, went to a break, and then came out, and but Drew had gone. It was like, what happened?
You're like, what happened? Like, did it just go to a double DQ and no contest? It's like, I want to know.
But no, it was a great match, and one that definitely goes along with the segment that followed it as an absolute red hot for a Raw. So, Sarah, what's your second 6 for 6 from this episode of Raw?
This is one that I got really quite confused over, because I'm sitting there going, like, this is really, really freaky, but it's Eric Rowan. And that, like, we creep, like, that thing in a cage.
This is 2 weeks in a row we've had the Rowan squash pro, whatever you call it, on the 6 for 6. this is the most mentions Rowan's had on this podcast since that time we talked about his squash from The Rock at WrestleMania.
But yeah, no, it was just the fact that first of all, the segment cuts from a camera angle of basically you are essentially whatever's in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was like the weird thing, and I was just like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. What the hell is he talking to? Because I want to know what's inside the cage. I mean, it's probably going to be like a caterpillar or a butterfly or something.
Something stupid.
Ah, it's going to be something stupid, but like we're all imagining it's going to be like a Komodo dragon or something like that, but no, it's going to be like a butterfly.
This is like the 2019 equivalent of the gobbledygooker. It's like, God. That's what came to my head, because they did a trailer for the See the Undertaker's podcast with Austin.
Yeah.
And pretty much Undertaker, when he was debuting, that's the same time the egg got hatched, and he was worried that he was going to be in the egg.
See, now I'm just worried that he's going to mutate this whatever's in the cage to be the new gobbledygooker.
God, I don't really know, but...
Just fish that costume out of the bin.
So, yeah, so after he does this whole talking to whatever's in the cage or the box or something like that, he has a squash match. But the strange thing about the squash match, I think, is we've got the things with the signs and the R-Truth as well for the 24/7 title.
Yeah, I mean, they're always having to try and find, like, new ways to integrate the 24/7 title. I mean, having the Sings come out and then Rowan just battering them and Truth is like stopping in his tracks. He's like, I think better of this. He runs back past the Sing brothers with the referee in tow and through the back. And you're like, but the title's still there. So he must have got scared, like proper scared to, you know, run away from the title.
See, I think to a lot of people, I've seen this online a lot, they've said that the 24/7 title has not been the same since the whole Truth Drake thing, and then obviously Carmella and Truth have broken up, which was kind of the dynamic. So they say it's not quite the same without those two elements to it.
Nah, it's definitely not the same. I mean, I think they need like a new person to integrate into all of this, but it's just a case of who. Maybe Rowan. Maybe like Rowan's like little creepy animal thing.
Oh God, I hope not. I hope not. I said last week that I think the Singh brothers are not good.
Oh yeah, no. It's like they were terrible when they were used in NXT. They were terrible when they were getting used for Jinder, and now, I mean, the only thing that they could ever get away doing is twin magic, even though they're not twins.
They look nothing alike.
They look nothing alike, but still, if Truth can get confused by them, but Truth gets confused by everything.
Truth does
but
get
They should by still them. Even just try their own version of twin magic.
I still don't even think that would work. I'm trying
you
to
never know.
One, I'm sure. If I remember right, one of them got beat off of Noam Dar in the Cruiserweight Classic, didn't they? That's the only thing I can really remember about them.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Couldn't tell you which one.
I couldn't tell you what one either. I still can't tell you what one's which either.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, they did help like in the whole part that like that they played in this whole squash match thing anyway, because Rowan just ended up chucking his enhancement talent on top of them. Mm-hmm. It's like and off. It's like I'm going to gorilla press it and off you go.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a strange segment all in. I'm not going to lie. Everything kind of just felt. The Rowan squash last week wasn't so bad because it was just him squashing him away with the box. But this just felt convoluted.
Yeah.
What are you going to give it?
So I would say slightly more than a Stone Cold. It wasn't like a complete Stone Cold, but it was like just more of the fact, just because it was strange, and I'm like, what the hell is in that cage?
Yeah, it's just the whole. I think I mentioned this last week. I can't remember exactly. I think I've mentioned it before. I don't really know what the heck they're doing with Rowan in the last year. He started off the year as this kind of, they presented them as this intellectual equivalent to Daniel Bryan, and now he's walking about talking to a cage.
I mean, you never know. It could just be like a plastic bottle that he's preserved inside this cage.
I really, really don't know. I'm interested to see what's in the ball. It's going to be something disappointing. It's going to be
a volleyball with a picture on it.
Don't start with that damn volleyball. But no, I would agree with you. I think it's a Stone Cold. I don't think it's really bad, but I don't think it's great. So I'm going to give it a Stone Cold.
Stone Cold.
So we're out of the three so far, we're quite in agreement.
Yes.
And I think we're going to be in agreement with our next one. It's one, something I've kind of been craving since I started doing this show a couple of weeks ago. It was the interactions backstage between Australia's favourite son, Buddy Murphy, and Aleister Black.
I am loving it.
So, essentially, those of you who listened to the very first Raw report, I gave a hot take that I wanted to see an NXT guy, like, knock the door. Which we didn't totally get, but we got Buddy Murphy being a, such a tease, chatting that door, walking away, and then trying to come back later. And then he has a stare down with Black.
He was just sort of doing like it, the way it reminded me of just like a variation of Chappie. It's like he's knocking the door and ran away, and you see like Aleister Black's clearly had enough of it because he's like storming out, going, right, who was it?
Mm-hmm.
But no, I've been waiting for this because I would say it's a more credible person to take on Aleister Black, mm-hmm. Just because like they have been really behind Buddy Murphy, like since he made the move from NXT,
mm-hmm.
they've not really booked him in a bad position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've showed off Black's moves and his skill set and everything to the best that they can do just now,
mm-hmm.
and that they need to maybe put him into a main rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's someone cocky like Buddy Murphy, then I'll be happy to lose points in the draft.
See, the thing about it was when the two of them were on SmackDown for the first six, since from WrestleMania to now, there was all this talk that they were facing each other on house shows. They were apparently stealing the shows on these house shows, and everybody's like, why are we not seeing this on SmackDown? We want to see these two go at it. So yeah. I think now that they're on Raw, and they've got, Heyman's apparently a really big fan of both of them.
Yeah.
He made the push, I think, to get Black onto Raw. It's only going to create some interesting permutations and some probably really, really good matches.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I am a big fan of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I did, like I was reading that like they were tearing up the house at these live events as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in there going like, I want to see this. I was like, I don't want to see Eric Rowan and Enhancement Talent for the third week in a row. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see this. I want to see this.
Mm-hmm. But the fact that I think that the reason that Black's apparently not wrestling is he's nursing a bit of an injury.
Oh.
He's nursing a bit of a knee injury, so apparently that's why he's being kept out of the ring, but they're trying to keep him relevant with all these kind of backstage segments, which makes sense. I like how this was a bit of a... They added a bit more to instead of his him in the dark room going, I want someone to knock the door. They actually had this done.
Yeah, like someone actually knocked the door. It was the fact that they managed to do this one segment. Murphy goes away, has his match with Akira Tozawa, and then as soon as he's coming backstage,
mm-hmm.
Aleister Black finds him, and you're like, that just seamlessly is like, oh, you know what, I've had enough of this. Going to my match, came back, and he's like, you've been waiting for me.
the memes on the Murphy chap door have been absolutely great. I've seen online the one is where people go that he's chapped the door. It's like when you miss a parcel getting delivered. You walk out and all you see is the wee thing that your parcel's been dropped off somewhere. You're like,
you're looking for a Chinese or something. You're like, where's my food?
What Chinese do you have in Edinburgh that just leave it at the door?
You'd be surprised. You would actually be surprised with some delivery drivers out here. I'm not gonna lie, they have left it on the table outside my house before.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not lying. They actually have.
Oh God, that's bad. But I think we've both got a bit of excitement on this particular one. I think we like the idea of what's going to come. So I have a feeling we may agree on how we rate this one. I'm going to give it a red hot because, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I've been dying to see Aleister Black answer the door, have someone step up to him. And if I had to pick, three guys on the Raw roster that I would love to see him face, it would have been Buddy Murphy, Andrade, or Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like Buddy Murphy was always like one that I have wanted to face Aleister Black. Just,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just because they are quite similar. Like they are both like really hard hitting, except
Those knees, the knees.
Exactly. Uh-oh. All the knees. So yeah, I would definitely say it would be a red hot. I mean, if I couldn't get Black and Murphy, then well, I don't know. I'm getting kind of excited that I don't want it taken away from me now.
It's good. I would have liked to have seen Black on some sort of Survivor Series match, but I'm kind of happy that he's got some development at least. It's not just going to be lingering in the background, or he's not just there as an afterthought.
Yeah, I just want them to take away that quirky music at the start of his theme. Just keep that board silent.
Right.
That's what I want for the future.
Yeah, but I think again we're both in agreement. This is kind of like the first, the one I did with Ross. We were quite in agreement for a lot of the stuff that was going on. So it's now time for your final 6 for 6, Sarah. What are you going to go with? You're spoiled for choice on the board.
I know, actually. I'm sitting looking at the entire things of what happened, and the elephant in the room is the Rusev, Lana, and Lashley debacle.
I'm going to need to. I'm really considering renaming Stone Cold to Rusev, Lana, and Lashley.
Yeah, because it's. I don't know what is going on. Because, first of all, the one thing that really, really pissed me off about this week is that she was introduced as the Ravishing Russian, but she's dropped her accent.
Partially. Oh, no. When she says his name, it's always the accent.
Yeah, I think that's maybe just oh, crap, it's this. It's like motor memory or muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what might be it. But this week, it's I filed for divorce, and then you know it's bad. This is the one thing that stuck out, is when Bobby Lashley has to correct your lines.
I saw it. I didn't notice that when I was watching it. And I saw,
did you not?
I saw No Way Jose's tweet. He sent out a tweet. It was him just looking confused and goes, when she says 90 days.
She was he's got to stay 90 miles. Mm-hmm. And then it was 90 days. And then it was 90 feet. And she's oh, he's getting me all flustered. And I'm no, you just fucked up it.
I saw the miles. I heard the miles, but and I was really confused. I was man,
90 miles away.
So I take it he's not gonna be backstage. They're just gonna show him. Nope, he's just not gonna be there at all.
Nope. It's you've got to be exactly 90 miles and 1 centimeter away.
Oh God, I know it's baffling. The angle considers. Me and Scott talked about this last week. It was when Corey Graves mentions it on the WWE podcast, then all we need, I know it's probably not going to happen, but because WWE backstage is on Fox, but could you imagine Punk getting his teeth into this?
I would only imagine what he would have to say about this, because I was saying this the other day. It's anyone who thought that, don't get me wrong, this is getting Rusev over on TV. People are chanting for Rusev, but it was never not over.
Oh, yeah. The Rusev Day chants are starting again.
Exactly. Rusev Day was all over. Yes, Bobby Lashley's getting heel heat. Yes, Lana's getting heel heat. Yes, Rusev and Lana are getting on TV. And I have read that Lana's incredibly uncomfortable with the storyline, but she's only doing it because they're getting on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see the point of it. Mm-hmm. There's some storylines that, yeah, romance and everything would work to get get the baby face over, or make the heel get extreme heat.
Mm-hmm.
But not when you, especially that you know that Rusev and Lana were married in real life.
Mm-hmm.
They brought this is why I keep saying that I don't in real life relationships brought over to storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer it's my own cup of tea, but keep your private life private.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is when they keep saying that they can't, fans can't distinguish the difference between who they are in real life and who they are on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what causes a lot of issues, because I'm pretty sure that Bobby Lashley's been receiving death threats over this.
Oh, yeah. It's a weird one. I have read that apparently one of the guys who's very vocal about the storyline being good is actually Rusev himself, which is strange, if true.
I mean, I think he's just wanting to get on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't blame him. He wants to get on TV.
Yeah, but would you go to the length of, to be fair, I think, other than the Lana botch line, this has not been as bad as some of the stuff we've seen beforehand.
I mean, she fell over when she was trying to kiss Bobby Lashley in the ring as well.
I really didn't pay enough attention to this segment.
I was towards the end, they were trying to do this whole sexy pose, and she just falls flat on her back.
To be fair, actually, I watched the pre-match promo and skipped the match. No disrespect, but I saw who Lashley was against, and I'm no disrespect to No Way Jose.
He deserved better.
I did. No, I forgot he was
employed. Always deserves better.
I forgot he was employed.
That's not nice.
Don't
make him Mr. Irrelevant.
But he is. I'm sure he's a lovely, lovely guy, but he was not very good at NXT, and he's not very good now.
He brings happiness to children and to me. That's all that matters in my life.
The theme tune's catchy. I'll give it that.
Yes, exactly. doing a fiesta, having a fiesta and doing a conga line about, no way, Jose, no way, Jose. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely would not go to that length. But
I am.
the whole Rusev Lana Lashley thing, it's a case of you kind of just want it to end soon.
Yeah, it's kind of like, at the same time, it's like a big massive train wreck that you're like, this is such a travesty, but at the same time, you can't look away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are programmed to like this sort of trash TV.
Oh yeah.
I mean, anyone who likes reality TV, like me and you as well, Stephen, because we all know we are prone to watching trash TV.
I never did.
Exactly. That we are programmed to eat this stuff up. I mean, this is why Keeping Up with the Kardashians is such a good thing.
No, because people bad thing.
Well, it's still a thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Because people eat that up.
Yeah.
And we are eating this up because we're like, well, we're talking about it. So they well and surely worked us because we're getting mad about this.
Based on that, I'm assuming this is a Stone Cold.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, like, in terms of actual storyline and the actual crap that's going on, yes, definitely a Stone Cold. Mm. The fact that they've got us talking about it, yes, red hot. But...
Yeah, I think Stone Cold, based on I just don't like the angle anymore. It's doing really well on YouTube, these videos, which is weird, but...
I just want to know whose idea this was.
We'll find
out if they need to get sectioned.
Oh, we'll find out soon enough. It will be a Vince idea, probably, or somebody.
Man, that's some great shit.
Right, so I'm deliberating on what I would make my final 6 for 6, as there's still so much decent or talkable stuff on this show. I'm going to go for the main event angle. Not so much... Well, partly a bit of the match, but the actual angle itself. So this was the main event was a tag team match, which featured the Viking Raiders taking on the team of Randy Orton and Ricochet. An odd team. If you don't know why they were in this match, we'll talk about that a wee bit later on, why the two of them are in this one. But the whole match was kind of had the permutation around about it. First, we saw the SmackDown guys attacking the Raw guys backstage. Then the SmackDown guys came out. Then the NXT guys came out. And then the rest of the Raw roster came out. We essentially got this big, massive brawl towards the end, which ended up with Triple H saying that NXT was an open field for pretty much any of the other two rosters this coming Wednesday. Sarah, what was your thoughts on this whole angle match?
I mean, if we were like when we were talking about earlier about people that you don't trust, mm-hmm. Randy Orton's another person you just can't trust when it comes to team like playing nice with others.
Yes, Randy Orton.
He even admitted that.
Randy Orton in the last couple of days has engaged in this Twitter spat with Tony Khan.
Yeah, I mean, this like besides expressing his love for John Cena, yeah, he's been going all in, so to say, with Tony Khan.
Mm-hmm.
But we all like because Randy Orton's been with the WWE. Like, I'm pretty sure it was 2002 he debuted on the.
Yeah, 2002. He's been.
Yes, that's 17 years.
Yeah, it's a long
of
time.
Him not playing nice with others.
Yeah,
and you've seen it because like you've seen it with Evolution, you've seen it with Legacy, and I was just like, nope.
Yeah.
Randy Orton does not play well with others, so
seems
the whole him teaming with Ricochet, especially with like the week before going, ha, I could RKO you at any time I want.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what is his gameplay?
I'm not 100% sure. We might find out a bit more about that on Sunday. Two of them are on Team Raw at Survivor Series. But the other thing, the main part of this whole thing was the whole next stage of the whole brand supremacy, where we got all three brands going at it. There's been mixed thoughts on this brawl. My one bad thought on this one, it's the thing that's kind of overshadowing the whole thing for me, is you've got NXT have brought all their big players. Raw's being led out to the ring by Seth Rollins as the whole crowd charge. And then you've got SmackDown, who have got, no disrespect to some of these guys, Heavy Machinery and the Lucha House Party.
Yeah. Because, see, when you looked at all the names that were like coming out, so like I saw Ciampa, mm-hmm. I saw Undisputed Era when it came to NXT, like that is all the top guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's just an excuse to get the rest of the roster onto TV.
Because
mm-hmm. they have nothing to do.
It's confusing because like the whole, as we mentioned in the whole Triple H KO thing, the big few thing that came a couple of weeks ago was Triple H coming out to confront Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins since then has been the forefront from the Raw side of this whole thing. But on the SmackDown side of things, the leader of the SmackDown brand was supposed to be Roman Reigns, is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, he's just, especially because like he's another one of Triple H's babies, mm-hmm. in a way.
He's too busy feuding with a dog on SmackDown.
Oh, I forgot about that. I kind of pushed that out of my mind.
The Ryans do a very good job of going into that whole angle on the Saturday SmackDown this week, which is available on the Patreon channel.
But yeah, no, because this is where you do look at it. Like, the other main guy, like, I kind of would hope that Triple H tries to screw with Roman Reigns' mind as well on Friday night on SmackDown. Because considering that Roman Reigns was also another NXT guy, mm-hmm. like, you're sitting thinking, like, hold up a minute, it's like, connect the dots. Mm-hmm. Try and get in as many people's heads as you can. I mean, see if Finn Balor had been on SmackDown, like, I think he was originally intended to be on SmackDown, that he would have been another guy. Shinsuke, if he hadn't been in a title match against Adam Cole, mm-hmm. could have been another one. Because you see him, you've seen them getting into the head of Sami Zayn as well.
Yeah, but like, it seems to be all these guys that, while they were on NXT, if you look at Team SmackDown, actually, from Survivor Series, you've got Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin, Braun Strowman, Mustafa Ali, and Chad Gable. I'm going to call him Chad Gable. And
thank God.
None of them are there. At least one of them be there. I hope they're going to be on NXT on Wednesday night, at least, which is probably the thing that comes from this segment that we're going to see big. Triple H said on his media call as of today, on day of recording, that there's going to be big names from Raw and SmackDown on NXT.
Yeah. I mean, I do know that Chad Gable's wife had just given birth to another child, so.
Yeah, but
Chad Gable's preoccupied.
Chad Gable's the fifth man of that team. Chad Gable's got the last 30 seconds in that Survivor Series match. Not a big deal.
With the name that they've given him, which I'm not even going to entertain because everyone knows it angers me. It angers me so much, just like Trevor Lee in his little hat.
Cameron Grimes?
Yeah. Cameron Grimes in his little hat, formerly known as Trevor Lee. Like, that's another thing. Like, that's why don't ever let me do the Wednesday Night Wars, because I'll just go on about him for 20 minutes.
See, there's a lot of aspects to this segment I like. However, the whole fact of the SmackDown thing is what gives it a cold for me, because I did not feel equal at all, and I would like to have seen a lot bigger SmackDown guys. Not a bad segment, but it's going to be a stone cold for me. What's yours?
No, I do kind of. I would say, can I make it a lukewarm? Like, in the middle.
Okay, we'll give our first ever in the middle.
Yes, it's in the middle lukewarm, because
we'll give our first ever Kwaku rating on the fence.
On the fence. Yeah, I think that's just because, like, it would have gotten a lot better for me if it had involved more predominant people. I mean, because, like, last year you had Becky leading the charge.
Yeah.
She was the captain of the women's team.
Exactly, yeah.
And yet, Roman Reigns, nowhere to be found. Seth Rollins, yes, I think that's kind of what saved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you had, like, it's probably going to be Ciampa that's going to be leading the charge. If Johnny Gargano had been able, I think Johnny Gargano would have led it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, they never know. They could work us and say this, like, could say that he's injured. He might not be injured after all. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that I think that's what sort of made it, like, a middly lukewarm for me. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also have been so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our main 6 for 6, and we've still we'll quickly then go through some of the other segments that are on the show. We've actually still got 7 to go through, so we're not going to go into them as much detail. We're pretty much going to give a stone cold or a red hot with a wee brief summary. First of all, one was the Raw opener, which was a tag team match between the Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair taking on the Iconics in a quick squash match, which then saw the Horsewomen of Shayna Baszler and her two pals come out and attack Becky and Charlotte, which had a big scrap and ended with Becky lamping one of the security guys. Sarah, is this a stone cold or a red hot for you?
Oh, I mean, red hot for the fact that the Iconics were back, mm-hmm. but I would say a stone cold, just because I didn't really see much point of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a reason to get them on TV.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think I've gave a stone cold to two Becky Lynch segments in a row, which is...
Oh, How are you feeling? Are you okay?
Oh, it was hurtful. I didn't like it. I can't remember what it was last week.
Like, Stephen, you okay, hon? You okay?
I can't remember what it was. I think it was because Becky took a pin last week. I think that's actually why I gave it a Stone Cold.
Yeah, well, I think it's because didn't she get pinned by Asuka?
Yeah, she got rolled up by Asuka or Kairi Sane. I can't 100% remember, but no, I'll give it a Stone Cold because it's not as good. But hopefully we'll get. I really hope Becky's going to be in NXT. I think that'd be great. She comes out to a conference to Shayna.
He's the only one that's not won that belt yet, so yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, Stone Cold's on that one. The second one, which was the reason why the main event tag team match was changed, it was Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins getting attacked backstage by the returning AOP.
I mean, at least they announced, like, in the backstage interview with Charlotte, why they were getting this tag team match.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was just like, it just sort of happened. You're like, okay. Mm-hmm. So apparently live events do matter.
Mm-hmm. Palmer.
I think, like, see AOP, they just look like big bouncers.
Oh, yeah. It's the fact they're now wearing, like, suits as opposed to...
Yeah.
The old gear.
It feels like we're just going to be turning into the Baron Corbin.
Potentially.
They're going to be wrestling in three-piece suits, and I still wonder how people can do that.
Oh, I hope they don't do that. I hope they actually have wrestling gear on. but I've been craving to see them back, which is the reason I'm giving it a red hot. I think that I'm very pleased that they're back. I think the tag division needs them.
I mean, I'm just going to give it. I'm going to give it a Stone Cold because it kind of ruined the impact of their return.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, if they need to make an impact, they need to attack the tag team champions or the best tag team in the world.
Yes, probably.
Like, I think that's what gave it a Stone Cold for me, because I was like, attacking, like, no offense to Hawkins and Ryder, actually a lot of offense to them, because they get attacked most weeks, mm-hmm. and they go down like they're Sakatatis.
Oh yeah. They don't even look that hot.
Exactly, so it's like, why waste a return on them? Like, yes, it'll say, yes, we're coming for the titles, but all they could have done was attacked Viking Raiders before the main event, before this brawl happened, and we could have saved ourselves a whole bunch of time.
Yeah, potentially, you know, but it's a mixed bag, and that's why we've obviously gave it a mixed rating. The next one was the singles match, which came after a promo from the OC, which led to a singles match between Karl Anderson, which I think is the first time I've seen him wrestle singles in WWE for a long time, if any time, taking on Humberto Carrillo.
I love Humberto Carrillo. How many simples?
Poor guy gets an absolute belter of a gorilla press from Keith Lee in that main event segment.
Oh, I know. props to him, because let's just face it. I mean, he's going to get comfortably lifted up by Keith Lee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Basking in the glory. I liked the match. I thought it was a good match. Karl Anderson's very, very good. Underrated, because he's pretty much only seen in tag matches.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I do agree. I can't remember the last time I seen him in a singles match.
Mm-hmm.
If ever.
I don't think I've remember. Since his U-Japan days, I don't think that's the last time I've seen him in a singles match.
Nah, I've seen Gallows in a singles match, I think.
I think Karl Anderson, I think he got to the final of a G1.
Oh, no, I'm talking about in WWE.
WWE, I don't think I've ever seen him wrestle singles.
I don't think that's ever happened.
So, I liked the match. I thought the finish was a bit stupid in terms of they were in that roll-up for a really long time. it's standard stuff. It's going to lead to Styles versus Carrillo next week for the United States Championship, which may be the point where they see the title change. Maybe, I don't 100% know.
I would say if they don't do the title change by now, then what the hell is Humberto Carrillo even going to do?
Yeah,
the third chance?
It's his third chance. I think they're doing it next week so that they can, as we mentioned last week, he will look a bit out of place in that triple threat. No disrespect to him.
And I'm quite glad, because it means that I'm not going to be losing as many draft points as I thought I was going to get next season. AJ Styles can drop the United States Championship for all I care. It's fine. I'm not going to pick him.
What are you giving us? Stone Cold or Red Hot?
Oh, I'm saying Red Hot, because despite the weird finish, it did kick off like a lot of brand supremacy stuff again. So, and plus the promo, I love a good OC promo.
Oh yeah,
like, I love the promo. So yeah, no, I would give it a Red Hot for this one.
Mm-hmm. Moving on now, we've got the match for the Raw team captaincy between Seth Rollins and Andrade, which ended in a disqualification as the Lucha House Party, yes, the Lucha House Party, interfered to cost Andrade the match by not causing a disqualification, which led to Seth winning. There was a bit of a brawl between the Lucha House Party and the two men after it, which then led to Andrade wanting a rematch. Sarah, I'm giving this a red hot because the match was amazing.
I mean, yeah, no, the match was incredible. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier when we were talking about, like, Drew and KO, this was a good enough reason to have a match.
Yes.
It's like, winner gets team captaincy. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I want to do, why Lucha House Party of all people?
Oh, I don't know. That goes back into the point we talked about the main event.
Where's your guys on SmackDown? Where are they? Where's your Daniel Bryan? Like, where's Miz? Those sort of people. I can't believe they're actually not even on Team SmackDown.
Well, Daniel Bryan's fighting The Fiend, you know, bigger stakes.
Oh, yeah, well, so he is, yeah. All right, Miz led, but where's The Miz? Where's, like,
The Miz is announcing the match between Daniel Bryan and The Fiend.
They still could be protecting their brand.
No, I get what you're saying. There's a lot better people in here. The Revival.
Yeah, The New Day.
The New Day, The Revival would be great for it. They would have fitted to that role nicely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, if you take the match itself and the fact that they're teasing a rematch between the two, it's a definite red hot for me.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I would love to see another match between them two.
Mm-hmm. Talking about great matches, our next segment, which we alluded to earlier on, was the match between Buddy Murphy and Akira Tozawa. These two lit the house up. What a match.
I love it. I mean, everyone knows that I love, like, a cruiserweight style match, you know, like, this fast paced and hard hitting. Mm-hmm. This was right up my alley. I was, like, proper into it.
Yeah, we talked earlier on how much we like Buddy Murphy, but it was a great exhibition for Akira Tozawa as well, which people are going to hate me and think I'm a mark the amount of red hots I've given this show.
No, but I think, when me and you were talking about it earlier, I thought it was a very, very strong go-home show, which doesn't happen all that often.
It does not, no. And this match, it was just kind of it was a midway between the two segments earlier on between Black and Murphy, but they took their chance and they ran with it, and it was brilliant to watch.
I've missed seeing Akira Tozawa on the TV. I like him.
Oh, he was good. He was good. I generally forgot about him. It's sad that I forgot about him before this.
That's heartbreaking that you forgot about him.
I know. I loved him as well. He had that random Cruiserweight Championship reign that's lasted like 2 days, or 6 days. Where I think he won it on a botch.
Yeah.
So you agree on the red hot?
Definitely.
Right, the next segment, it was quite, well, I say it was short. It wasn't short. It went on a wee bit too long for my liking. It was the first Paul Heyman backstage promo talking about the Rey Mysterio-Brock Lesnar match, which then led to it being announced that the two of them are going to fight in a no-holds-barred match at Survivor Series. Sarah, this went on too long.
Meh. I know this needs to happen, but why?
This is my opinion. I love Paul Heyman. He's one of the best promo guys in the world. Oh, yeah. This was a terrible way to sell this match to me. I skipped halfway through the promo.
It looked like he actually was past caring. He's like, for fuck's sake, can we not move on from this? That's what the impression I got from it.
I liked the build 2 weeks ago where Ray took out Lesnar. I thought it was really good. But
the only thing that will make this better is if Dominic joins up with Paul Heyman.
Oh, the Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be no bad. But like I said, I thought it was good 2 weeks ago when they did it, and they've mucked it since the 2 weeks, and I don't really care as much anyway. It's going to main event the show, probably.
Oh, yeah, no, this will probably main event. I mean, if anything, The Fiend and Daniel Bryan should main event, because that's a little bit more interesting than this.
No, if Pete Dunne wins on Saturday, Pete Dunne, Adam Cole should main event.
Oh, my God, don't make me think about that.
Oh, that'd be absolutely great.
I want Pete Dunne on Team NXT, though.
We'll find out soon enough.
Break everyone's fingers.
So, you're going down as well?
Yeah, no, I didn't like it.
And the final segment of the show was a singles match between Asuka and Natalya. Sarah, I'm going to be brutally honest, I skipped this. I did not care if I'm in it.
I watched it and it's a big, massive Stone Cold for me. It's ruined both these women.
Yeah.
Just having that match has ruined them both.
I've spoken in the last few weeks. I really love the stuff with the Kabuki Warriors, but I think they could have maybe been left off this. And again, it kind of falls into that problem we talked about with Drew and KO. This is two members of Team Raw on the women's side.
Yeah. It's, again, if there had been a point to the match, but No, because like this is what they've made it look like. Asuka needs a cheap tactic to beat Natalya, right? When not even 2 years ago, Asuka was what, 3 eliminations in Survivor Series,
something like that. She was sole survivor 2 years ago, maybe.
Aye. So she was a really, really strong competitor, and Natty's been doing amazing as of late, and like the place that she is in the company as well. So it was a pointless match. It's like, again, just to get the women on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
If it had been someone trying to take captaincy or something, or trying to take their spot,
mm-hmm.
that's what I want to see from go-home shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the unpredictability. You don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I prefer unpredictability.
I agree totally. I thought it was a really... It's a bad spot as well. It came after the Lesnar-Rey Mysterio announcement, and it came just before the main event, so it just kind of felt...
like a placeholder.
When I was watching this, I'd checked the results before watching it, but I forgot that it was on, so I was really... Well, I was quite wanting to see the main event segment when I got to this, so...
Uh-huh.
Which is why, no offence to him, I think Asuka and Kairi Sane are absolutely amazing right now. But they could have done without them being on this one. But Asuka will probably do well on Sunday. I probably think it'll be her and Charlotte, sole survivors for Team Raw.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Mm.
I just hope that they don't ruin it in a way with Asuka.
Ah.
Just because they're just making her look too cowardly right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But that is the last segment of this week's Raw, which gives us a total scoring of 13.5 out of 26. So, a solid show, but I think the good were really good and the bad were not great. I think it's a fair way to say it.
Yeah, I think that's probably what brought it down, was the fact that the bad stuff was like really, really bad.
Yeah, definitely. But it did well enough for the viewers. It got a ratings of 2.127 in million in America. Not brilliant ratings, but up on last week. So I think what it will do is Dave and these guys will talk about on the Wednesday Night Wars will probably lead to a very good NXT showing.
Mm-hmm.
Off the back of this, which is great for NXT, but this is the Raw report. We want to talk about the Raw stuff.
Raw.
Before we finish up the show, this is the point where we give our hot take for next week, where we predict one thing that we think is going to happen that is a bit left field. So, Sarah, what do you think is going to happen next week that might be unexpected?
Rowan does not have a squash match, and we find out what's in that cage.
You think they'll pull the plug so early?
I mean, it's not like they haven't done it before, so probably.
Maybe. You never...
it's either that or AOP are going to get a tag team title match.
Yeah, it's probably a good shout on that one. I think the hot take, this is left field, but it's probably not going to happen, but I would love to see it happen. The rumour is that Becky will feud with the Kabuki Warriors. I would love it if next week they announce that TLC, instead of it being Becky versus Asuka, it's going to be Becky versus Kairi.
I mean, I would kind of like to see like Becky versus Kairi and Asuka.
Well, that'd be good as well. But if they did...
Two on one handicap TLC match.
But most likely we're going to end up seeing the Kabuki Warriors versus Becky and Charlotte.
Yeah, and I don't want that. I mean, if I'm going to have Becky in a match, then have something different and put her with Kairi, because I don't think I've seen that match yet.
They did it on Raw the other week, but it's going to obviously be better on the pay-per-view.
Yes.
With more time to flourish.
Definitely. Charlotte just needs to stay far, far away. Her and her cartoon looks.
I said that last week. I didn't like the fact that Becky and Charlotte are still being used so closely together. Keep them apart for a while. I love Becky, but...
Well, that was addressed on this week's show as well. It's like, I don't want to tag team with you. You don't want to tag team with me. I don't know why they keep putting us together.
I actually quite like that bit.
Yeah.
that was actually really good. People will say why Raw is not great now, but this is a really good Raw in hindsight. It's just some of the bad stuff kind of weighs it down a wee bit, but it's loads of great stuff on it.
Oh yeah, take the bad stuff away. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. I wish I had that every week, but hopefully we'll see just as much good stuff next week when we review Raw again here on the Raw Report. Again, if you've enjoyed the show, thank you again for joining us on Patreon. Your subscription is very much appreciated, and you're getting lots of great content, including this Saturday SmackDown, the Wednesday Night Wars. In the next week, we've got some new shows debuting, including Ross's Retro Reviews and the Monday Night Rewind, where we look back at the Monday Night Wars, Nitro's and Raws from 95 to 2001, which is some interesting content there. And you can see our flagship show, which is still free to listen to, as well as the back catalogue on all good podcasting sites. And we're on all the social medias. Sarah, thanks for joining me for this week's Raw Report.
Ah, it's been my pleasure, Stephen.
I hope you have all enjoyed it, and I hope you will enjoy Survivor Series weekend. From myself, Stephen Wilson, we'll see you next week.
Bye.